Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is from the epistle lesson, verse 8 and following. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. That he might fill all things, and something a little bit from 1 Corinthians 15. He must reign until. And Thursday was Ascension Day, and we celebrate that Jesus is ruling in heaven. Christ is ruling. He is ruling indeed. Hallelujah. Okay. And in your bulletin insert, a little quote from one of Luther's sermons. Had Jesus remained on earth in visible form before the people, he could not have worked so effectively. For all the people would not have been able to be with him and hear him. Therefore, Christ ascended, which made it possible for him to be in touch with all and reign in all, to preach to all and be heard by all. Therefore, beware lest you imagine within yourself that he has gone and now is far away from us. The very opposite is true. Oh. Okay. And then the second part. He must sit where he can look into the whole world, into heaven and hell and every heart, where he can see all sin and all righteousness and can not only see all things but can rule accordingly. So Jesus is reigning. He is reigning in heaven. He is reigning in our lives. He is reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now let's dig in just a little bit more. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. That's a more wooden translation. He led captivity captive. What's that mean? There's a striking picture that comes from the ancient world where a victorious king returning from victory in battle or victory in war, there's a parade to welcome him. And in the parade, there is a parade of captives. Some of the soldiers who have been defeated. Any of the kings that were conquered and can be brought back and shown off. So the king leads captives along in his train, entering into, returning to his home people and rejoicing with them. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. What's that say? Jesus came to do battle. He came to do battle with the things that had captured and held us captive. He came to do battle and to defeat them. And what had taken us captive? Sin, death, the devil, all of the wandering away from God, all of the confusion and wandering off into not knowing God's word, not knowing God's ways. We were captive to sin, bound in sin, and there was one who was ruling over us in that state of sin. You know what his name is? Satan. The devil. And we were sold into sin because who had we rebelled against? We'd rebelled against God. Broken his commandments, walked off. How early did we do that? Right away in the Garden of Eden, deciding that the word of God wasn't enough for us and the gifts that God was giving were not enough for us. And there was somebody who was promising more. He said, you can be like God. And that sounded so good that we listened to him and went chasing off and ate what he put in front of us and believed the words that he spoke into our ears and became captive. And we needed a Savior to come and to conquer. There had to be a battle. There had to be warfare. There had to be the shedding of blood. But in this battle, this king did not win the battle like other kings did. He didn't win the battle by shedding everybody else's blood. He won the battle by shedding his own blood. And this king of ours, this victorious king of ours, by the battle of the cross, by the victory of his death, by the shedding of his blood, by the laying in the tomb, by the rising from the dead, by the breaking of the grave, the crushing of death, the shattering of the chains that held us, and the crushing the head of the devil through all of that, this victorious king paying the price has redeemed and ransomed us. You know this story, don't you? I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. And in the rising from the dead, he leads captivity captive. Who does he bring back to his victorious kingdom? Here's the other place where the image takes an odd turn. Because who he brings is us. Capturing the captives. Bringing us out of chains to be in his victory parade. And so Jesus ascends to heaven, leading a host who had been captive but are no more. And in his train of those defeated, death, the devil, sin, all broken and shattered and unable to rise. Death does not work as it's supposed to anymore, because death for us Christians is simply the opening up into heaven. The body doesn't stay in the tomb, staying dead. Why is that? Christ is risen. He's risen. Hallelujah. The devil has that fatal blow. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. And Jesus struck the head of the devil on the cross. He was wounded in that battle. He suffered. He laid down his life. He spent the 3 days in the tomb, but he rose victorious. This is our story because it is the story of Jesus, and he has bound us to him. So he must rule. Why must he rule? He must rule because in the history of the human race and since the Garden of Eden, we have not ruled ourselves well, have we? Nations rise up against nations. And this coming Monday is Memorial Day, and we need to remember those who stepped forward to guard and defend our lives and our freedoms, and did so at the price of their own lives. But that is the situation of the human race, where there are wars and rumors of wars, and we need to have soldiers. We need him to rule. We need Jesus to rule because we have not ruled our own lives well. This is becoming one of my favorite quotes. A week or two ago, Jared Lesh, coming into the office, he comes in and he drops this line on us. He says, "I thought you should go to church today because I was sinful." Or was it, I thought I should come to church because I was sinful today. Yeah, and after we finished laughing about it, you know, the sinful today part, now we just had fun with the quote. Yeah, how many days are you not sinful? And this is us. We're sinful today. I was sinful yesterday. I was sinful on Thursday. I was sinful on Wednesday. Psst. I'm going to be sinful tomorrow. If God is willing and I'm still in this world. So who do I need? I need Jesus. I need him to rule because I'm not ruling well in my life. Without him, my ruling my life is an absolute catastrophe. It's a total mess. But there is Jesus. And he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And like Luther said, he didn't ascend up into heaven to be far away from us. He ascended up into heaven so that he could rule in every place in my life too. And boy, do I need that. And so Ascension Day is that day of celebration because he's ruling. And like Paul said, he must rule until what? Until all things are subject to him. All things subject to him. Well, sin, death, the grave, all things subject to him. All nations on earth, but that's not that important. Until all things are subject to him means every single part of my life. My thoughts, my emotions, my thinking and feeling and my wanting and willing. Until every heartbeat of mine is subject to him, until every thought of mine is subject to him. He must rule until all of those things are subject to him. And when they are, this captive here, who's being set free by Jesus Christ, this captive here, who is still stuck in this life with an old sinful nature. And before I finish that thought, he must rule until all things are subject to him. And there are enemies. Enemies, Paul lists them. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil roams around trying to lure, trying to intimidate, trying to crush and kill. And we need Jesus. We need Jesus, the Lamb of God who conquers all. We need him to fight that fight. The world is there. And around us in the world, what do we see? Out there in the world, we see trouble, we see sickness, we see tragedies. And then there's the wars and rumors of wars, and terrible things happen. Oh, we need him to rule. We need Jesus to rule. We need him to rule in every place, that every part of this world is subject to him. We need him to rule. How far do we need him to rule? I'll maybe ask Jonah. Does he need to rule when you're running away from him? Yeah, you need him to rule very badly. Do you need him to rule when the storm is up and you realize the storms of life are because of what you've done? You need him to rule there. Did Jonah need him to rule in the belly of the fish? Extreme places of prayer. Where, by the way, in the belly of the fish, Jonah says, I will turn to your mountain and pray toward it. And I absolutely love that line because how do you know when you're in the belly of the fish which way Jerusalem is? But there in the darkness, Christ rules. In every bit of darkness, he rules. And that's the assurance for our souls. That's the assurance for our lives and our future, that he rules everywhere. And the third of the enemies, what is that? The world, the flesh. Oh, I need him to rule. I need him to rule because I am the enemy. Old comic strip said, "We have met the enemy and he is us." I rephrased that for a confirmation class one year. I'm my own evil twin. I want to be going along perfectly well, and there's my evil twin doing all the wrong things. But guess what? That evil twin is me. But this Jesus rules. He rules, and how sweet it is. He rules my sin. How'd he rule my sin? By taking it on himself and carrying it to the cross and nailing it there. He rules my wandering. How does he rule my wandering? By bringing me back and teaching me the Word of God and inviting me through the gospel and telling me that in spite of everything I have done and in spite of all my wandering, I am called, I am redeemed, I am made his own. He rules my future. With all of those thousands of things that could happen, and there's a lot of them that aren't very pleasant. He rules my future. And that's his promise, that everything is being rewritten in his image. The entire creation being rewritten by Jesus Christ, because it must be rewritten in the image of Jesus. And you know where he starts to rewrite his creation? Do you know where he starts rewriting his creation? Inside you. As he rewrites you, recreates you with the Word of God, with the promise of the gospel, to be made over into the image of Christ. And that's how sweet it is. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We continue by joining together and speaking our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.